The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation is brought to you by Alive, Carnival Bonds, Burger King, Kerry's Fabric and Uniform Store, Commonwealth Bank, Epic Battery, Grand Bahama News, Marco's Pizza, Print Fast, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. You're listening to The Foundation, and sitting in Howard Grant is yours truly, Ambassador Devin Roll. Yes, I am sitting on the opposite side of the table today, as Howard Grant is getting some much needed rest. It is always, as I always say when I come on here, it's always an honor to have an opportunity to dialogue with our country and help with the national development in whatever way we can. And today, audience, you are my guest. And so we're going to be setting up a very, very powerful discussion today. I've been assigned to talk about political integrity. Yes, political integrity. My focus today is on breaking the silence and talking about the integrity crisis. So over the years, I'm many years now, it's almost two decades that I've been coming on air via various talk shows and making a contribution to national development. Many people don't know that I do have a background in political science, which is my undergraduate degree, but I'm more so known for my contributions to music in the country, gospel music, and also ministry as a pastor. However, I used to be confused about it years ago, saying, how do all of these things come together? Why did I study history? Why did I study political science and law if I'm called into this fair call ministry? But interestingly enough, and this topic that I'm talking about today is going to tie it all together, I believe. It's kind of like my life come full circle. There is a political scientist that we were made to study in school called David Easton. I always remembered him because there was something that he contributed that was so powerful and enlightening my science is all about. Oftentimes when we, especially on the local scene, talk about politics, we only think about it through the narrow prism of partisan politics. So I'm with this color. No, I'm with that color. I'm with this theme. And you know, politics is center stage right now all over the world, especially with this being the year for the U.S. elections. So a lot of people are plugged in by mainstream media and social media listening to what's happening. Politics or political science is so much bigger than just the whole matrix of party politics. When you talk about political science as a whole, you're talking about the entire system of governance, policies, and these things that help a nation to either develop and go forward or to regress and be stagnated. And oftentimes, the most stagnant nations are those nations where the people, the masses of people, do not truly get involved in the political process. And I know that sounds strange to say because people are probably saying right now, I have my voter's card. I vote every time the 5 years come around. But how many of you know, usually, and this is what we call it in the Bahamas, when it comes to the election season or the election year, we often call it silly season because there are all sorts of, I don't want to say games, but the whole machinery of PR and lights, camera, action comes out, and everybody's all excited for that moment. And then after the election, then we disappear back into our caves. And then a few people are just led to be active in the political system. I believe Howard Grant, even with the launch of this show, The Foundation, is making a valiant attempt to change that and attempting to get more people more involved in the political development of our nation, not just every 5 years, but throughout the process. So as we dive in today to this notion of political integrity, when you hear those two words, it almost sounds like an oxymoron, like they don't go together. You mean, is it possible? Is it actually possible to have integrity in politics? That's one of the questions that we need to ask today. Is it possible? I know as a young man, I came back from university in 99. And every single election since, I have been asked to engage at the partisan level in one party or the other. I think by now, maybe the majority of parties at some point or the other has asked me. And because of this understanding, I didn't finish talking about David Easton. Why is David Easton so significant? David Easton is significant because he says that the political system and governance of a nation, if it's going to be effective, it is more than just the party systems or the governing party and the opposition that leads a country forward governmentally. He talks about this thing called gatekeepers. And he says, oftentimes, the gatekeepers of a nation, almost sounds like spiritual talk, the gatekeepers of the nation are often more influential than people who are actually sitting in the House of Parliament. And who are these gatekeepers? He talks about the economic elite. He talks about journalists. He talks about community leaders. He talks about the church. Now, when David Easton was writing his political commentary, the way it is today, I'm sure if he amended his writings, he would also include those influencers in the social media domain. And so that awakening made me to understand that you don't necessarily have to be Democrat, Republican, PLP, FNM, or whatever country in, whatever the names are, to be effective in assisting in the development of your nation. You can man the wall that you are on and be effective with it. And one of the biggest gatekeepers that this secular political sciences writes about is actually the church. The church and the community leaders, those who are actively engaged in the community. So When we shift now and talk about integrity in politics, one of the things that we must be really point blank and honest about is whoever is involved in governance, in politics, whether it's governmental or opposition politics, we must understand that these people, these persons, they come from the community. So don't detach yourselves from what's going on in your nation when you're saying there's a lot of corruption happening here, there's a lot of under-the-table thing happening there. No, the people who are put in place to lead come from the community. So within your community structures, here's a big one, within your family structure, if there isn't the development of integral character in the way we do things as a people, from the home, in the sporting clubs, in the church community, in the boys and girls, guys, whatever it is, if we don't preach and teach character, then whenever the time comes for the ascension of new leaders in our governance, the people who have in heart are the people who are going to sit in these positions. And so we need to take some personal introspection and say, what are we producing in the spaces where we have leadership influence? Some of the core principles of what it means to have political integrity or even personal integrity, period, is notions of being honest, of being transparent, of being a person who is accountable and has an accountability circle around him. I was told years ago in school that many of the Fortune 500 companies, when they go to hire mainstream or high-level workers, what they do is oftentimes they go and investigate who your five closest friends are, because they say those five closest friends, not only are they your accountability circle, but because the notion of birds of a feather flock together, it is believed that people can tell everything about your life based upon examining the five closest persons in your life. People of a certain economic status hang together. People of a certain personality trait often hang together. Either you are an extrovert or an introvert. People who have the same kind of common hobbies hang together. So you examine your friend circle or your immediate friend circle, you can tell a lot about anybody in this life. And so if for example, the people you hang with are not people of integrity, chances are you got it. Birds of a feather flock together. And so oftentimes in terms of investigating the character of people, studies are done at high levels to examine the people who you hang with. And so when we talk about we don't like the way certain things in the political systems of our country, the question we must ask is what level of involvement do we have in keeping these leaders and these people we are producing for leadership, what level of involvement do we have with regarding keeping them accountable? You know, it is said that the true mark of integrity is who are you when you are by yourself? Who are you when you are by yourself? Because some people have this low grade standard of you know what, if I can just convince everybody when I'm public that I'm a good person, I have this character, I have that character for the public eyes, then we think, okay, we're getting over it. No, that's not true integrity. True integrity is, what are you doing when you're by yourself? Are you truly accountable? Are you honest? Are you loving? Are you kind? And you can hear now my spiritual lean coming in here. Who are you by way of your character? One of the studies that I have done for many, many years as a minister is this whole notion in Scripture of examining the difference between fruit and gift. Many of us in the public sphere are very, especially in Bahamas, we are a very gifted people. And oftentimes we confuse the ability to with having a good character, and it's not one and the same at all. There's a scripture that says that a man's gift is without repentance. So before you were born, you came into this earth with a certain lean towards certain abilities. You look at children. Some of our children, very young, they are dismantling the cell phone, the TV, the radio, and they're going in there and playing with the wires, and some of them are getting the stuff done. And you'd be like, how is this child doing this? Because we come to this with certain giftings based upon our environment, based upon the parenting that we have, based upon the teaching we have, our gifts are developed, but you don't put a gift into somebody. We come with gifts. Now, good teaching, good parenting, good friends put a demand on you to have character that matches the gift that you flow in. When you don't have that, you have a very dangerous person. And as we look at the world that we live in today, we are finding more and more, to our dismay, that many of the people who we've held on high pedestals, many of the people who we've screens in the movies, in the governmental spheres, in business spheres, we're finding out that even though they were gifted in a certain way, their character development was lacking. And I think today, as we examine this whole thing of the integrity crisis, particularly in regards to the political system, we are really targeting the need to hold us more accountable as a people with regarding character. Now, I've come from a background where many believe that the reason why we're seeing a decline in moral character is because more and more people are no longer attending church in our modern developing country. And I know that not everybody listening to me now has come up with that kind of background. I'm aware of that. However, our history is what our history is. This country, all you have to do is take a cursory look at our Constitution and its preamble. This country built upon Christian principles. It doesn't mean that everybody was demanded to be a Christian. No, but there were certain ideals that our founding fathers saw in Scripture, saw in the churches that they attended as young men and young women, and they said, you know what? We want to build this nation upon these principles. And so we come from a culture, whether you were living like an apostle or a disciple through the week, was beside the point. What you did was you always had this reverence for going to church, going to Sunday school, going to mass, and because you were always under the teaching of Christian principles, this had a very positive effect in terms of the kind and nature we had in our society. And we are now at a point, we have developed tremendously. Our tourism product is second to none. What has happened in education since, talking about the education, you know, we are in the week of commemorating 24 years since our founding father has passed away in the person of Sir Lyndon. And so many people are reflecting on his tremendous contributions that he's made to our country. And 24 years later, we are now at a point where we're examining and saying to ourselves, how far have we come since our founding fathers have laid the foundation of this place called the Bahamas? So again, this is why this subject, I think, is so timely and needed in the point of our development. Now, there's a lot of stuff in the news. I was away for the last two and a half weeks. I'm just coming back, and I'm hearing a whole lot of things that were transpiring in our nation. If you've been listening to me over the years, I don't really go after pulling down people in terms of character assassinations or seeking to condemn or embarrass. My whole life's mission is to make a positive contribution to my country, to advance the kingdom of God, and to help us to develop to be this best little nation in the entire world. But there, we can't deny what's happening. There are some very negative things that are in the forefront in our media today, and things that cause us to have to really ask the question: what level, even from a justice standpoint, what level of accountability, what level of investigation, what level of change do we need in our public spaces? Because more and more, many are being exposed and found not to be walking at the levels of moral integrity that we expect for leadership. Kermit, is that a call that we have? Oh, we do have a call. Call on the line. You're live.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well this morning. How are
you? Good. Not too bad.
Yes, sir.
You know, my opinion on the church's integrity or powers that I think they should have, I think they lost in the Bahamas their integrity when they allowed the government to license them. That you have to be licensed as a church.
Mm.
I don't think Jesus would have never stand for that. Because, in my opinion, then you are subservient to the government. You know, the government said to the business people, you know, if you don't pay your taxes, we can hold your license, your business. Oh, and so it's the same thing with church now. Mm-hmm. Government have the power. I don't think Jesus ever stand for that. But I want you to elaborate on that because I was a little bit busy today. So if you could just elaborate on that, I'll probably get back to you another time.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Beautiful. All right. Wonderful contribution, sir. He's talking about the fact that there are aspects in church governance that we need the government's licensing to function. Many churches now are nonprofit organizations. Many churches are registered government in one way or the other. This is one of the fruits of a developing society. I think it's something that we have to look at. There are pros and cons to it. because the church is such a wide-ranging organism. There are so many denominations. There are so many people. For example, I mean, there's one stream where people come into ministry and develop churches because they've come through established systems, established church denominations. And then there are some people who feel a strong leading by God and without any kind of training or systematic release, they go and start their churches. And so there are some structures of accountability in church work, and then there are others who pretty much are doing what they feel. So I guess over the years, church leaders and governmental leaders have felt there are certain systems and checks and balances that we need to put in place, because when you like becoming a politician, when you become a minister, a preacher, a pastor, a priest, you have tremendous influence in the nation, tremendous influence in the community. So we need to make sure that you're not just going vogue and forming cults that would cause destructive things to happen within the community. But I mean, the calling to minister and to come into ministry must be something that is ordained by God. And if it is ordained by God, then your peers should recognize that, yes, this person is called by God, this ministry is called by God, and in so doing, there should be a level of accountability and transparency even in doing ministry, whether it's the government looking in or your peers looking in. I think we have another call. Caller, you're live with us on the foundation.
I'm pleasant. Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, sir. How are you?
Would you say this is an open line show?
Yeah, you can go to open line. I mean, we're focusing on political integrity.
Open line, you mean open-minded as well?
Indeed.
See, I want to get that in because it appears in our country now that if you disagree with somebody, especially on these talk shows, if you disagree with the talk show host, they cut you off. Like, you agree with me, so I don't want to hear what you got to say. I don't call that open line or open-minded.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is, when I grew up, they said we just celebrated 50 years anniversary of growing independent, right?
Right.
But when I grew up, which is 73 years ago, in this beautiful little country I remembered it to be, I don't think we really celebrated 50 years ago and forward. It seemed to be celebrated 50 years ago and backwards. Because when I was growing up, I remembered the church itself was a very reverent place to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you walk past a church, and you know, I grew up Anglican, which is English Catholic. If you walk past a church, you make the sign of the cross.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yep, I did.
When you walk past a graveyard, you make the sign of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
It was like you had a religious upbringing, and next to that, your parents, it was almost brainwashed or forced on you, that you had an educational upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
It was very important to be educated and religious.
Mm-hmm.
And also, all the corners I grew up through as a young boy, everybody living through the corners, I can name them, from West Street. I was born in Chippenham. Then there was Aldi's Edition West Street. Everybody through that corner was mommy and daddy and children living in the house.
Yep.
There was mother, father, whether they had 6 children, 2 children, 10 children, but there was always a mommy and a daddy in the house.
Mm-hmm.
When I lived moved into the valley on Madera Street on East Avenue Center in the valley, there was the whole corner from the first two houses to the last two houses to the east and all in there, there was mommy and daddy and children living in the house. You don't see that more.
Well, that's what I was trying to hint to earlier when I talked about the influence of the church on our political leaders when we founded this country. We were a country steeped in being God-fearing, on being our brother's keeper, on everybody going to church, going to mass, going to Sunday school, going to Sabbath school, and the principles of Christ, whether you called yourself a Christian or not, you walked in these principles, and so we were more loving, more God-fearing people in those earlier years. But watch what happened. You can tell me what you think about this. I believe that we elevated education to a point so high that we said, you know what, first, we show the world that we are a serious nation. We have to educate our people. We got to send them off to college. We got to send them to this place so that we can have the respect, which was good. However, I believe we traded in our spirituality for our education. So our children go off to these universities, they get exposed to all of these different doctrines, and they come back home. Now they don't have time to go to church. They don't have time for God because they are advancing themselves in the nation. What are your thoughts on that? Is he gone? All right. I see we have a next caller on the line. Caller, you're live with us on the Foundation Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. We're talking about integrity today, right?
Political integrity, yes, ma'am.
Okay, I was listening to you from the starting.
Yes, ma'am.
I know what's wrong with what's going on today.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like instead of the church giving the politician directive, the church is more listening to the politician than by their directive.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like what needs to happen is the church need now to speak up on political interrogation. Or you see my point?
Yes,
follow me?
I follow you.
We not speak, you know, as a nation as we ought to. The church supposed to take the role. The church now need to start to speak out on what's happening in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know now the church seems to be the only who have the voice. A lot of other person are so politically, you know, everybody seems to only care about themselves now.
Well,
what they could achieve from these political parties. The church ain't supposed to be mixed up in politics to begin with. As a church leader, even if you was given a contract or some kind of board to sit on, you should refuse it. Because that would silence your voice. And that's what seems to happen in this country.
Wow.
And we as Bahamians, we need to speak out. We just stand back and wait for election day to speak by voting.
Right.
While other things are happening in this country, which is detrimental to a lot of poison. We have a lot of family grieving every day because of things happening and they can't even speak out.
Yeah.
Because the country is so small. When you start to speak out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just speak out. It don't matter. You can come at me or whoever you come at.
Mm-hmm.
My voice can be my voice.
Mm-hmm.
When I turn 50, I just don't care.
Right.
I'm over 50. And I gain my voice.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So you can come at me for how I speak. And I'm a Bahamian.
Right.
I'm a broad Bahamian from Abraham's Bay, Maguana.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay? That's where I was born. And
yes, ma'am.
I didn't come here by no boat or nothing.
Right.
So you can't take my Bahamian rights from me.
Right.
When that issue happened on the Belize Fort, I feel like a mission of Belize should have been the first one to step down. That's just in my view, okay?
Wow.
That should happen. And if that happened, I would have had us as Bahamian gaining. We would have right then not be looking at the force in the matter that we are, okay? But right now you're looking around wondering who's who and where to trust. Because we've been hearing a lot of sip from these stations.
Mm.
Your child get locked up and the police officer asking you, how much money you paying? That been happening in these stations for some time. Person has been talking that, but who could you talk it to?
Oh, wow.
You can't say it all around. And when Dr. Minnis say that, we were so lost when he make that statement.
Yeah.
But he see it, and he know what's happening, and he himself sit down on a lot of stuff that he could have made known. And right now, a lot of people, a lot of opposition, a lot of, and when I speak, sometimes I don't even speak from a political obligated. I speak more like a Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
We in leadership see and know a lot of stuff, and we're not even speaking out to it. When it happened, we acting like it's something new. It's new to us and the public, but trust me, it don't be new to these politicians. They just see these things, and you notice they, some of them are not even speaking on them as they should. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of things they toe the party line, so to speak, and if they don't get the liberty to from the leadership to speak on it, they go silent. And it's a sad part of our political system itself, and this is why I have been saying that the people have to get more involved in holding our political operatives accountable. And years ago, somebody said on the radio, one of the things we need to do, we need people who are involved in these parties need to start going to the constituency meetings and making their views and their disappointments known, and hope and putting more pressure on the politicians to truly be representative of the communities they say they represent. Because oftentimes, you know, when they go in the House, they speak on behalf of the good people of this area or that area. And sometimes the people in the area are confused because they never got a chance to weigh in on whatever matter. We need more involvement. If the people do not become more involved in the political system, not necessarily political parties, but in the political system of governance of our country, there will be no political integrity because, you know, they said absolute power corrupts absolutely. All right, I think we have another call on the line, Kermit. We can take him. Hello, you are live on the foundation.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
I just wanted to take an opportunity to comment on something you said a couple of minutes ago about how we seem to be a lot more, you know, 30 years ago, more, you know, in tune with our spirituality as opposed to, you know, we traded that for education. Let me speak to that just for 2 minutes.
Please.
Let me actually be really honest here. And I when I come on the radio, I come on the radio as a citizen of this country my entire life. Mm-hmm. I've lived other places, but this is who. Mm-hmm. I this is where I only desire to be.
Right.
What the citizenry saw was that, yeah, we were all spiritual and all into everything with the pastors say and the church leaders and all that said. We was down with that. Mm-hmm. But then what we saw then is when, in our faith, we had politicians involved with their family members and our children, and all of a sudden we asking them questions. So if you make $36,000 a year, how do you have a house and life, Keith? No answer. Don't talk to us. Must be God divinely give them some money that we don't know about that. When we ask them, well, how come your son would have a daughter or did this thing and then my child get locked up but your child out the next day?
Right.
How does that happen?
Right.
And every time something like that happens, the pastors and preachers never want to tell us, must be their friends. Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all just pray. Don't worry. God works in the mysterious. Let me tell you something. At some point in time, it gets sent, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So our education wasn't about coming away from God. Our education is about looking at things as what it was. You're not going to live in an animal farm environment and expect the animals never to realize the scenario of the situation.
Right.
You can't have two legs good for you and four legs bad for me. And that's why my personal belief is we are now awake. Mm-hmm. You're no longer telling us that you could stand in front of the pulpit, you know your friend, your cohort, and whoever you hang out with are doing all manner of things, and you don't say nothing to them.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go and sit down in front of the pew, you want to tell me everything I do, I'm missing. Cut my eye the wrong way. Oh, you need to be right. Just get away with that. And that's me. So we have moved beyond that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's now what the country is coming to deal with. And so we're not listening to anyone anymore. Show us different than that. If you tell me that you are representing God and you believe that these voices need the subject, you will tell them.
Mm-hmm.
None of the people them how you can live inside this house and you can afford 5 houses and you make only $25,000.
Yeah.
But don't expect us to just swallow that stupidness and then tell us, oh, you drift away from God. No, what we have drifted away from is silliness, corruption in our face, and no one having to answer for it.
Sir, I'm in complete agreement with you. I'm not anti-education at all. My only reference there was saying that a lot of people embrace the educational opportunities and they threw God away. I would love to see the mixture where we embrace education and let that fuel us to even representing God even better. All right, I hear the music. We have to go to a break. You're listening to The Foundation. Ambassador Devin Roll filling in for Howard Grant today. When we come back, we'd love to hear more contribution from you. Our number is 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. See you on the other side of the break.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road too.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326 Epic. We ship also to the Family Island.
Hello and welcome back to the Foundation. Ambassador Devin Rose sitting in for Howard Grant today. We're having a very, very interesting conversation dealing with breaking the silence, the integrity crisis in our political system. We're dealing with integrity today, and we're having some wonderful contributions, and we encourage you to continue to call in. I just threw out the numbers. Want to do it real quick again. Those of you who are listening in and want to contribute, 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, and the text line is 422-4796. Come on and make a contribution today. The last caller made a very, very good contribution, and he said that Bahamians have been educated in the last 4 or 5 decades, and now they are not tolerating a lot of the hypocrisy, just in the political arena, but also in the church. And while he was saying that, you know, I opened the show talking about gatekeepers, and the political scientist David Easton talks about the importance of the gatekeepers in a country, putting fire to those who are sitting in the seat of government and making sure that they're accountable, because oftentimes these gatekeepers are the economic elite, the church leaders, the community leaders, the business leaders. Oftentimes these persons have more influence in the direction of the nation sometimes than the people who are sitting in the seat of government. But you are in trouble as a nation when your people, your community, is not being more active in governance, that except for when the election time comes around. Usually it's too late. It's too late. It's a song and dance then, and you hear all sorts of things that are flowery, and then persons get into government, and then true colors are revealed. So we need to take more personal responsibility and become more active in holding our elected officials and those who are in governance, holding them accountable. All right, I see a caller that's already online. He's been holding for a while. Let's take this caller. Caller, you're on the Foundation.
How you doing, Pastor Roy?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you today?
I'm great.
Excellent.
So I called into the show the other day, mm-hmm. and I spoke to my college professor, my legal college professor, Franklin Williams, and I was speaking to him objectively
right.
about where I saw our nation going because of what I was seeing actively on the ground at my times at the University of Bahamas.
Right.
Right. I was an avid student in history,
mm-hmm.
and I was doing courses in sociology and psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave this amazing speech when I started to speak. He actually cut me off.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't believe in the doom and gloom. I don't believe it then. I don't believe it now. We are going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he told me.
Right.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right. So I would like to tell Franklin Williams
right.
that today I stand erect when I say that my assessment and analysis
uh-huh.
was correct, and it's not doom and gloom. It's the harsh reality.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you look at it. He said, we need the professor you just mentioned said, we need to hold these people foot at the fire.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we examine this and look carefully, there is accusations in the media right now against the police force actively going out there and paying to have people killed. Now, we have to look at the intensity of that. Now, through this whole, all of these allegations,
right?
I haven't heard the Christian Council or one member or have a big meeting or come and say, this need to be investigated immediately. Mm-hmm. We need a robust response. Mm-hmm. Actually, last week, the government said that they are not going to keep us updated on this no more. And when it's done, it's done. I haven't seen one person from the Christian Council. And you have to tell us this now. You're bringing in some people from Britain. God knows who these people is. I guess they're the experts. But remember, we come from up under them, and their country is shambles.
Right.
So y'all bring these people. Who knows who's paying them? Who knows anything? Mm-hmm. And now they're going to start it out. They said they was coming last week. Who knows if they're here or not? They're going to start it out. And I guess when they finish, they'll give them their finding. But my point is...
I was away, so I just heard that statement was made that they won't be speaking anymore on this. Who said that, and who was in the audience when that was said?
It said that the investigation, we would have no updates on it anymore.
Yeah, who said that? Who made that statement?
That came across on the newspapers.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, but what I'm saying is that when this is what the crux of Christianity is based on, morality.
Yes.
This is when people who believe in what is right should come at the forefront and demand, if it means that they give the sacrifice that Christ gave to have the truth be revealed, even if it means that their life be put in the balance to ensure that justice and truth prevails. This is when you need the Christian church and the Christian leader and the Christian council to come at the forefront. Not when Vaj Katel about to have a concert, but right now when the accusation is that our top leaders are engaged in murder for hire.
Yeah.
But we have not heard one word. I give you an example, and I'm doing some research now on one of the big churches at the Bahamas that had a march.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I have yet to see in the dividends of this great marching people and march and demand right now that there be an open investigation for all to see to root out these people that is alleged that they are hiring people to exode other people. Now, I say again, you aren't hearing it. You probably won't hear it because it's like it don't work that way in this place. So what is really at the crux of it is, where is the sacrifice of Christ? Where is it? Is it just a story? Is it just something where people jump up and down, spin around, catch the Holy Ghost, and then go home? Or is the time for the leaders like Christ? Mm-hmm. Sacrifice their life for the truth and for the people who don't know better. Is this that time when they stand up and demand with robust and urgency that we get these people who have done these things to seek justice?
It sounds to me like you're saying the church is far too silent.
I am saying that this church has now become a theatrical movie. Like a play, like you have the protagonist and then you have someone go up there and they do this performance. And then after the performance on Sunday, they meet with the political leaders and they shake hands and it's more like a social status now and a grand performance with a big bang at the end. And then it starts over and over and over again and they don't trace the progress or the decline of the people that are a part of the church, and it goes on and on day after day. And then when we have pertinent issues that affect and all of these things, the question of morality, what is right? What is right by God? What is right in the sight of Christ is now being placed at the forefront. You hear absolutely nothing. And then you wonder why people who have a little bit of sense
don't come out and support.
Hello, I think we lost that caller, but I want to strike a balance on some of the things that he was saying. I believe he was alleging certain those things concerning the police force and the present matters that are on the table. Like I was saying, I was away for the last 2.5 weeks, and what we want to say is that we don't want to cast any aspersions without the facts on the table. So we definitely, anything said that the alleged term was not used, we do apologize and say that these things are not endorsed by the station or myself concerning any of the accusations that are being made. I think the caller was definitely attempting to say that our gatekeepers, church and others, do need to be more involved in helping to keep a greater level of accountability and transparency in how government is carried on. And that's what we want to do. And we want to do it, ladies and gentlemen, let's do it more from the place of neutrality and objectivity. And this is, I think, is where we need to take the conversation to definitely a more mature place. And this is where I'm at, too. My aim, even in having this discussion today, is to increase, to encourage an awareness that the public needs to be more involved of the nation and its development, needs to be more involved when it comes to accountability in how our officials, not just elected officials, because one of the things I started to show, when I talked about David Easton, I'm talking about the fact that the development of a nation should not just be left in the hands of politicians. I believe we become too lazy and we expect just the persons in the forefront to be responsible for all that's happening. And I think in many cases too, in our small island nations, we have a handout mentality. We really don't really even care who's in leadership or who's governing this or that. We just want to make sure that when I'm ready to receive and I hand up my hands, something comes into my hand. But I'm saying that we need to take it to a different level of involvement and accountability. So, again, without jumping into the details of the things that are happening in the nation, I do believe that the gatekeepers who we talked about earlier need to be activated, need to be involved in the processes. And one of the things about kind of pander towards the salacious. I'm a minister, and the characterization that I use in terms of myself in ministry is I refer to myself as an ambassador, and well, that is found in 2 Corinthians 5:20, where it talks about we are all ambassadors of Christ, but it's at a different level too. I'm an ambassador, not just to say I'm a representative of Christ. I'm an individual who seeks to be more diplomatic than merely confrontational for confrontational sake. What does that mean? I believe you get more things done by being kind, by being nice, by being honest, by being transparent, being diplomatic. People oftentimes see diplomacy as weakness, but I think is strength. Because at the end of the day, what we want is results, and results that push us forward as a people. All right, we're going to a break, and we'll be back in a few moments to continue our talk about political integrity from our Bahamas, political integrity in the Bahamas. And please, let's continue to do it from an objective and diplomatic stance. Thank you.
The foundation. The foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to true life. Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Garden.
Home Store wants to get you ready for back to school.
Don't be no fool, stay in school.
They have ready-made uniforms and uniform fabrics for almost every school in the Bahamas.
At Carey's, find skirts, blouses, shirts, jumpers, boy shorts and long pants, neckties, socks and more.
You can even have your uniform skirts custom made.
Check out our selection of embroidered cotton shirts.
That's Carey's Fabric and Uniform Store on Mackey Street.
Call us at 393-0758 or 817-0758.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, always.
Foundation. Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome back to the Foundation, hosted today by Ambassador Devin Roll, sitting in for one Howard Grant. We're having a very provocative conversation today, talking about political integrity, and it is a sensitive subject. It is a sensitive subject, because, and I'm trying as best I can to dispassionately talk about it without getting into name-calling and overt bashing. But we are saying in our discussion today that the silence needs to be broken, and we need to talk about the integrity crisis. John Maxwell often is known for saying that everything rises and falls upon leadership. And so when you aspire to be a leader, you need to make sure that you have certain things together, not just economically. I was told that for years, son, if you're going to think about going into politics, make sure you are economically secured. And one of the other things that's less talked about, but that we need to talk about more, is make sure that morally that you have yourself and your affairs together. Because the political arena is not an easy one. When you put yourself out there for leadership and go into the forefront, all of the eyes are on you, the microscope is on you, and people look at your past, they look at your present, they create things that don't even exist, and so you need strong shoulders to take some of the chafing that goes along with it. But ideally, if you go into the forefront of leadership, whether it's political or any other form of leadership, your mantra ought to be, I'm doing this for the good and the benefit of others. And at the glitz and glamour of being out front as a MP, as a cabinet minister, as a prime minister, as a pastor, as a preacher, as a public speaker, you look at the glitz and glamour and you don't understand that there's a whole lot that goes into having the kind of fortitude to stand before people and have that level of intention, of attention, because there is an expectation that you are a person who is morally all together and you stand out front because you are apt to being an example for others to follow. And we found, somebody was talking about the church, the need of the church to do more in calling out the politicians, and they feel that the church is in bed with the politicians. And in some regards, some of that may be true, but wherever there are bad apples, there are also good apples. And in order for that to be a fake situation or a pretend situation, there has to be a real situation. It's just that in this world that we live in, this social media crazed world, we often go after the negative and we focus our attention on the negative, and those those who are doing it the right way often do not get the camera in front of them. And this is something that we can do a whole lot to change. Let's lift up the good examples. There's a statement I've said on the radio for years. Whatever is exalted will be reproduced. If you have a pencil, write it down. A short pencil is better than a long memory. Whatever is exalted will be reproduced. So if you keep pushing the negative out front, that is what people will consistently hear. And when they consistently hear, they soon begin to model. We need to make a change and put more attention on moral character. I see we have a caller. Caller on the line.
I'm present. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. You're live on the foundation.
I was speaking to you earlier when I earlier called.
Yes, yes.
And I was cut off. You elaborated on some of the same things I said in regards to politics.
Oh, yeah. I started to talk. I thought you were still there. Sorry.
No, politics and the church. You got into talking the next.
Okay.
But what I was saying is when we were talking about how it used to be,
mm-hmm.
when like this was a beautiful place to live, like everything was peace and honey here.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, they sent the children off to school, but the children that went off to school first with Mr. Pinland and them,
right.
Their duty was to come back and help build a nation.
Yes.
And we started, after Mr. Pinland's first tenure, we was building a nation in a hurry.
Yes.
We were going into banking, we was going into accounts, we was going into agriculture, we was going to everything in a hurry, and it was on a zoom.
Yes, sir.
Our first 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got, like, especially then, when them tourism bus wide open, then we had all entertainers from Montague Beach all the way to Life Key Lake. There was nightclubs all along Bay Street, both
mm-hmm.
sides.
Mm-hmm.
All East Street, all of Blue Hill Road, both sides was churches and restaurants and nightclubs.
Right.
This country was buzzing. People was coming from New York, Chicago, Detroit. Every weekend this place was full of tourists.
Yes.
Coming to the beautiful Bahama Islands, especially Freeport and New Providence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then it changed.
Mm-hmm.
The politicians took the nightclub power from the entertainers.
Mm-hmm.
The entertainers lost their jobs around the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
All the nightclubs and restaurants closed down.
Mm-hmm.
They gave everything to the hotels where everybody's staying on the ground and hotels don't come off no more to the nightclubs and things. The nightclubbers end up riding a horse in Surrey, driving taxi. The entertainers riding taxi,
mm-hmm.
riding a horse and carriage. This and that, fellas who could play drum and saxophone and guitar and things lost all their jobs because the politicians took the power unto themselves.
Yeah.
They started selling themselves out to the hoteliers and the banks and everything, and they walked all over the necks and the heads of their own people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got going on right now. We've lost the respect for the church mainly because the church has lost its respect for the people. And under the feet of the politician, the first lady with a big hat to outdo Miss Tillin dressing, and they wanted to have this big cathedral, and plus they want a bus line, a taxi line, and everything. Mm-hmm. And the people out here don't have nothing other than to come to church and give them 10% of what we make during the week. People have lost respect for the church. The pastors want to dress up in the big gowns and all this kind of thing. I live in the big houses next to the doggone, next to the politician, out southwest and Moldfort Bay and this and that and that, while the people still in McCullough Corner. Hello?
I'm listening.
That's what they did to their own people. Yeah. And that's why they said the other day, they said the Jamaican Prime Minister interviewed a Chinese, and the Chinese said the black people are the stupidest people in the world. The Chinese are coming to your country. Sell things cheaper than you and knock you right out of business. Look all over this country. Every little corner you go through, there's a Chinese bar and restaurant and this and that and that. And the Chinese get there. Chinese get a license to sell food, clothes, and wholesale liquor in one place. And a Bahamian can't get a license to do the same thing.
Well, see again. Well,
where do they get these permits from?
Well, I don't know the details of that. But here is where, again, the community needs to get more involved in the system. And for example, if that is a reality, you go to these constituency meetings and you put pressure on the MP and say, MP, we don't understand this. You are in there to represent us. And this doesn't look fair. This doesn't look just. It looks as though it's easier for a foreigner to have permission to do certain things than us who are here. What's wrong? Why is this case? Help us to address this situation. Because if we just stay inside the buses and the laundromat complaining about this stuff, but we don't bring the pressure to the persons who can change it, then we're just making noises. And to the pastor situation, you know, where I sit in that seat too, let me just say this, that there are many hardworking pastors out there who are involved in ministry, involved in business, involved in investment, and they have worked hard to have what they own. Not every pastor who you see doing well is raking or running over on the people to do it. Many pastors have trained and equipped themselves. And is where there is putting these things to play, and it seems to be taking advantage of the people, that this is very discouraging. And to that point, I do agree. We have another call on the line. You're live on the foundation.
Good day, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, sir. How are you today?
Yeah, man, I'm all right. I sympathize and I agree with the majority of things that Spock was saying just now.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as though our politicians are all for me and not for the people. And it seems the same way with the church. If you look in the churches right now, I know you say you were part of the churches, the pastor or whatever.
Mm.
But the overwhelming majority of churches just have a lot of old people or rich people. You understand?
Mm.
And that's a change in the dynamic to how it used to be. When I was growing up as a child, I couldn't be sleeping in my bed late.
Oh no, sir.
What I'm saying?
No, sir.
You see 6:30 here, 7 o'clock here?
Yes, sir.
I got to go to the first service.
Yes, sir.
Second service. And then I got to go in the evening.
And even if you've been out the night before, you better find yourself a church.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. Whatever happened the night before,
yep.
You better be in church Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
You understand? I feel that like with the politicians, like you have some people like yourself, pastors or whatever who are true,
yes sir,
to the gospel, but I have to stay brilliant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I question their beliefs and what they are doing for people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big organization. Now, looking at Catholic churches, a big organization.
Yeah, they're big organization. Very
they got
big.
A world of money. You understand what I'm saying? A world of money, man.
Mm-hmm.
And they just ain't helping people as much as I see little men like you guys. You know what I mean? Assisting people in the communities and stuff like that.
Let me use the same principle, the same gatekeeper principle I'm using for the political system. It applies to the church too, you know. And I hope my pastoral colleagues don't mind me saying this. There's a scripture that says, and we wrongly interpreted it. It says, "Do not rebuke an elder openly." It doesn't say don't rebuke him. It says don't rebuke them openly. So exactly. I think what we need to do, we need to be pulling some of these leaders in some private spaces and calling them into account. Say, sir, I ain't trying to disrespect you. That's why I pull you to the side. But help me to understand this. This is not making sense to me. If we are empowered to do this, why aren't we doing this? So that's what I want to encourage. I want to encourage people, start holding your leaders more accountable.
You were Pastor Hagin in Freeport?
Yeah, I know the name. I don't know him personally.
I walk in this guy's church, right? And the gentleman look at me and say, "You don't come to church because you would say that pastors would just be taking people money and living their good life and things." You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I could feel, you know, you could feel certain people. You could feel them out to see what they actually believe in or they actually are. You understand what I'm saying? And I tell everybody, hey, man, go to those churches where you feel that this person is actually anointed by the Father.
And we need
large churches where you all just feel like everybody and all the ministers and all these other people go in there, so I can go there too.
Yes.
Go to the church where you feel the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and that can move you forward.
Yeah, I want to touch on something you said earlier. As I go to the next caller, you talked about not seeing a lot of young people in church. And again, what's happening is a lot of young people who have a lot to contribute, when they go off, they get new philosophies, and when they come back home, they don't go back to the church. They need to come back in because they are the ones who should be taking over for leadership in the next few years.
It's the same thing in our educational system.
Yeah, indeed.
I feel that we have gone to Americanize with this liberal. A guy talks on your show all the time, calls like we got to say, but he always talks about this liberal agenda.
Yeah.
And I feel that it's real.
Yeah.
It is real.
No, it is real. It is real. The liberal agenda is very, very real. Man, thanks for your contribution, man. Great, great, great contribution. We have another. You're on the foundation.
Hey, good day, sir.
Hi.
Hi. Again, with the other caller, I agree with a lot of what Sparky said, especially when it concerns the church and the ministers. Mm-hmm. But like Sparky saying, outside looking in, like how you said, pastors, they make investments and so on and so forth. But the money that they use to make the investments are the same money they get from the persons in the church. For me, if you have a church of like persons that are really struggling, right? Mm-hmm. And here it is, they are giving every Sunday, in my case, every Sabbath,
right.
you're giving as much as you can give.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, you have almost little to nothing to show for it, but your pastor is riding around with a driver, almost like a self-proclaimed Lord. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing this. And he walks in church with nurses beside him and security guard, and you know, it's like you're too small for me now. But don't forget to bring your friend. You understand? So look outside, looking in, we don't see as much help. You're giving me food. How long is that gonna last? How about help me with my home? How about help me get my roof fixed properly? How about, and when they do it, mind you, some of them do it. A lot of them do it.
Yeah, a lot do.
They do it on a small scale. Mm-hmm. I feel like they put more into themselves than they do back into the church or back into the people that build the church. You know, I may be seen in the Adventist system. No pastor gets their hand on that offering.
Right.
That is something that they are paid a salary. So they riding around in the same note and tube as the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean,
they're not out here with these outrageously expensive vehicles and these outrageous. They work like everybody else too.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me?
Yeah.
But in some of those other churches, especially those Sunday churches, some of them,
mm-hmm.
these pastors seem to. I don't know. They're in competition to see who can be the biggest or who can get the biggest money.
Sadly, in all organizations, there are abuses, but I want to say I believe firmly that the overwhelming majority of the ministers, I still think it's a majority, who are doing it the right way. It's just that those who are, in some cases, who are abusing the system for self-gain, they get more of the attention, and it's discouraging at times. But I'm telling you, whatever, if you are connected to a properly set up church, and doesn't have to be a big, old established church, but just where there's proper accountability, you should be able to have a say and contribute to, okay, how is the finances of this church being organized? Is this church doing outreach? Is it doing missions? Is it giving to the poor? Because these are some of the principal tenets of a church. And if you are a part of a church that's not doing that, then you need to ask some questions or even pray about, should I even be here?
Exactly. You understand? Because I have a friend of mine who told me last week that he ain't been to church in a while. And he went to church, mm-hmm. and he had some coins.
Mm-hmm.
And he put the coins in there. And the pastor asked him if he's joking. He ain't been to church in a while. He ain't been back since.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Pastor asked him if he's joking. Yeah. Mind you, that's all he had on him.
Yeah. No, that's
why would you ask me if I'm joking? You think I come here, I work all week, and I come here to enrich you? I come here to give the Lord the best of what I have.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like what Jesus said about the widow with the two mites. He said that lady with the two pennies, she gave more than everybody else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like I say, outside looking in, it looked like, for the most part, they are being enriched, while the persons in their church who are saying, okay, let me sow this seed because it will help me in the long run. The seed never germinate.
Yeah. Okay, so what I want to say too, again, then there are some people now, listen carefully. Jesus says in John 10 that I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So there are times where the pastors and the teachers in the church are teaching the principles for you to apply so that you can have success in life, but some people don't apply it. Some people just come to church to have a good time, to get a hit on Sunday or a hit on Saturday, but they don't apply the principles through the week. So you can't put that on the pastor if he is teaching truth and teaching the principles, but you're not applying it to that conversation as well. All right, I see another call on the line. Caller, you're live on the foundation.
Brother Rule.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. Once a pastor is teaching the truth and the principle,
yes,
I will follow him.
Yeah.
Now, it's up to me to apply.
Yes, sir.
You see?
Yes, sir.
Some people just go to church and just say amen before the pastor finish.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't go dance and carry on.
Right.
But you know something? It's something you were saying that when people goes away, the children goes away. And when I look in Jeremiah 32 and 32. The Bible said, and they turned their back on God, say, move away from us. We want to make our own decision. And appear to me like we are living in these days and time. Even when you look in Job 21 and 13 and 14 and 15, it said, we are rich and we don't need of nothing. The Bible says, in a moment, they go down into the grave.
Mm-hmm.
So, to sum it all up, see, when people who once knew God from they were growing up in Sunday school and whatever, and they go away, when they come back, it's a whole new scope. But what you're saying this today, leaders, see, when I look at leaders, whether it be in the church or in government, they got a whole responsible. I can be a pastor, whatever, but when I see my friends are doing wrong in the church, I must call them out, pull them aside, and say, bro, sis, what you're doing is wrong.
Yep.
But so, when we don't do it because why, they are giving us gifts and stuff, that's where the problem comes in.
Secret gifts.
Start out on a good foot,
yeah,
and after that, they start straying away. When it comes to the worldly part, government, you have to blame the leaders. Leaders like the prime minister, whoever. He can have his friends also, but when he see one of his MPs or whatever doing wrong, he gotta call them out. Whole integrity.
It's important. It's important. Listen, you're sharing some very good points, and I know a lot of people get uncomfortable when we talk about holding people in accountability and speaking correction and when it comes to justice for those who are in leadership. But here's the thing: is leadership has many, many benefits. When you get in a position of leadership, you're seen, you're given preferred seats, you're given the salary that goes along with the leadership title. But can I say this to us as a people? We had to be prepared that in leadership, when we do things wrong, to be held accountable for the wrong that we have done. And if you do not want to be held accountable, if you do not want the scrutiny, then maybe you should not be in leadership. So we're going to talk about that a little more when we come back after the break. Today, I know we're starting to get a lot into the church aspect of things, but we are talking about political integrity. Our topic is breaking the silence concerning the integrity crisis in politics. We'll be right back after this break. Call, I see you on the line. Please stay tuned.
The foundation. The foundation.
This summer, Popeyes and Coke is taking you from the beaches to Bourbon Street in Louisiana. With the purchase of a Nola Box, you can enter to win a grand prize trip for two to New Orleans. Enjoy the Nola Box, which has our iconic chicken sandwich, two chicken tenders, one side of choice, and a 32-ounce Coca-Cola beverage with a cinnamon apple pie for just $13.95. Fill out the skill question on your receipt. Enter online at Popeyes Bahamas Facebook page.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment.
Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you all selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326 EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Good afternoon. You're listening to The Foundation. In for Howard Grant, who's getting some much-needed rest. And he has me in the big chair today talking about a very hot topic, integrity in politics in our country. Sensitive, but a much-needed discussion. Because if we bring about a greater level of integrity in the high office of our political arena, and the entire system of politics, guess what's going to happen? That's going to trickle down to the nation, and we'll have a more integral nation. I am a very proud Bahamian. I just traveled over the last several weeks, went as far as Canada, stopped in New Jersey, came down to Florida for a little bit, and could not wait to get back home. I love my country. I do not like when I hear people try to align our country with being one of corruption. That's not my life's goal and mission here. I want people to not only know us as a successful nation when it comes to tourism and investment and banking and sports, but I want us to be known around the world as a nation of integrity, a nation of character, and a nation who's not ashamed about their faith. You know, I'm big on that. We believe in God. We give you the leeway not to believe, you don't want to believe, but we have chosen as a people to be a God-fearing people. And one of the ways, again, we bring about this change is by holding those who are in positions of authority accountable. If you watch the world, what's happening in the world, and it's kind of hitting us really hard, but a lot of people in high positions, even in the church world, in America and throughout the region, have been exposed, embarrassingly exposed, because you can only do wrong for so long. God is gracious. Yes, he is. But the covers are lifted. And if what you are doing in secret is not right, it's going to be exposed. And that's been happening quite a bit. And so I think the aftermath of that is people should be taking greater inspection of themselves and praying and prayerfully saying, God, please help me to come into a position of integrity in my personal life so it spills into my public life. Don't miss that. I want to say that again. Help me to become a better person of private and personal integrity so that that spills over into my public life. And I think when we start to look at ourselves that way, then we become a better person and we help to produce better people and a better nation. All right, the callers are coming in today. We have another call on the live. You're live on The Foundation. Caller, are you there? Hello, if you can hear us, let us know. You're live on The Foundation.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir.
Quick question for you.
Uh-huh.
I tuned in late, so I just want to ask, maybe somebody might have asked this already.
Mm-hmm.
What is your position on church and state? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, he just asked, what's my position on church and state? I do not subscribe to the notion of the complete separation between church and state. And even, again, one of the world's foremost authority on political science, David Easton, argues the point that the political system of governance is greatly influenced and must be influenced by gatekeepers. And this secular political scientist, talks about the need of the church and the role of the church in influencing the nation in that regard. So should the church control the government? No. They have different factors to play. I've often seen church and state as almost like a marriage. The government is basically concerned mainly about the economic and the social equilibrium of a nation, creating an environment where people can thrive and survive and do well. The church is concerned about the moral fabric of a nation more so, making sure that, yes, we are succeeding economically, but we're doing it in a way that pleases God. And if it pleases God, that means you don't seek to cause harm to your brother and sister. It means that you seek to do things in a manner that is just and equitable. And so the church is supposed to be that voice. And callers have said it. They said it in many cases, the church needs to be more vocal and speak louder to some of the injustice that we see right in our newspapers on a daily basis. And one of the things that's happening, I got to be honest, I'm a part of the church, but I got to say this. One of the things that's happening is that I believe in some cases that we are too socially close to our political officials, to the point where when we need to speak as a representative of God, we're thinking more socially and about friendships and about relationships and about business deals. But we have to be above that, because we are instructed to come out from amongst the world system itself and be set apart so that we can speak, not condemn, but so that we can speak truth to power, and so we can help to guide our nation in a way that's pleasing to God, and that helps everybody to have fair opportunity. All right. So I and that's my position. The church has a role to play. One more point is Matthew 28. When Christ comes back from the dead, he says, "All power is given to me." And then he instructs the church, he instructs his disciples, "Go ye therefore and command the nations to observe those things that I have taught you." So we are commissioned from God. Jesus has taught us. That's our assignment to the state and to the nation. All right. I see we have callers on the line. Caller, you're live on the foundation.
Pastor Rose.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let me firstly say this. I heard you had one or two people after Sparky talking about churches, the church they attend, a church they visit, whatever. I attend Newburgh Kingdom Deliverance Ministry.
Okay.
Led by Pastor Procton and his co-pastor's wife, Valerie Parton.
Yes, yes. I just saw him a few months ago.
Bible-believing church that I attend.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can speak for my church.
Mm-hmm.
That if you want to get into a church where you want to be taught the Bible and led by Scripture,
right?
Come and visit us.
I hear you. That's good.
Number one. Number two.
That's good.
Sparky said something about the politicians living out life key in Old Fort Bay, and they want to represent a constituency in the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
I will not support a member of parliament who never grew up in the area that I live in or live in the area that I live in.
Okay.
I live in the Bamboo Town constituency,
mm-hmm.
and the member of parliament for Bamboo Town
mm-hmm.
lives in a constituency.
That's powerful.
So when my light off, her light off.
Okay.
Then I got to go in the road with the bumpy road with the big old, she had to ride them same road.
Indeed, indeed.
Okay, so yep. I support who my people in my area.
Yeah.
It's Patricia DeVoe, that's who I support.
Yeah.
She lives in Bamboo Town.
Yeah. But I mean,
go ahead.
No, I don't say that. That's a point of personal conviction. I think it's a powerful point. What I would say is, I think my MP needs to be able to identify with my suffering, even if they live somewhere.
I'm saying if they grew up. If they, in the area,
exactly.
No
exactly.
Thing.
No, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
Family members that still live in the area.
Yes. Yes.
Time to time, they're gonna come through.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But what I want to say in closing,
mm-hmm.
they say when the righteous are in authority,
yep.
the people rejoice.
Indeed. That's the scripture.
Can you count how many reverends the last administration had in those of assembly?
It was a lot.
Some 12 to 13.
Yeah.
And we didn't rejoice in the last election.
So that's
we didn't rejoice.
old people say, sir, that was wicked. That was wicked. But I've had somewhat to say on that situation, concerning the amount of ministers that were in there. Again, no condemnation. I would have liked to have seen and heard more from a kingdom representative standpoint. However, I think those ministers realized when they got in there that this was a very structured system. And so with my knowledge of political science and government, I have to say that as well, that even though you're in there, you can't necessarily move the way you feel. And sometimes, but there's a point where if your party, even as a minister, is going in the direction that you feel is contradistinctive to kingdom principles, that's when you're supposed to make a stand. Regardless of salary, regardless of the fact that you may be rebuked, you're supposed to stand for your principles. So that's what I'll say to that. All right, we have another call on the line. Caller, you're live on the foundation.
My good friend, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. How you doing? Good to hear your voice.
I'm here, my brother. I'm here.
Yes, sir.
Listen, a couple of things. One, let me just say this. The text says, when the righteous are on power, the people of the church.
I'm glad you're calling in so that you're saying it.
So you understand the words have specific meaning.
Specific meanings, yes,
and,
indeed.
And if we believe that all scripture is inspired,
yes, indeed.
We understand that it's also specifically inspired.
Indeed.
But as it relates to the issue of the separation of church and state, I think this is a critical aspect that we have to deal with, particularly when we see the rise of Christian nationalism, and in specific white Christian nationalism.
Yeah.
But more so, even a level of black-led Christian nationalism.
Yep.
I don't want to beat up on nobody. So I won't beat up on my Kojic friends, because I understand that the bishop for the Kojic is shared.
Yeah.
And not Wooden.
Yeah.
But if you listen to some of the stuff that Patrick
Wooden. I like Wooden. You know, I probably should say that now.
I there's things he says that are good, but there are other things that he says that really force me to ask if he understands the world in which he lives in.
Right. I get you.
I always say this to folk, okay? As a Christian, I have my personal views.
Yes.
That are rooted and grounded in my personal application of my faith and my knowledge.
Yeah.
So the doctrine in which I believe, and how deeply I believe it. Okay?
Even before you finish that, let me say that you demonstrated that quite nicely over the last several weeks and months with the thing that you were leading in. You made it very clear. I have my convictions, but I have a duty based upon the office I hold. You did it very well.
Exactly. And I've always said that. Mm-hmm. I say it all the time. If you want to know what Marvin wants to say,
ask
Marvin, an organization. I speak for an organization.
Yes.
And so it is inherent on how I decide to operate and live Marvin's life.
Yes.
That connects me to my faith.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But I always remember this, that the God who gives us life every day and who is all powerful, we believe he is absolutely all powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He has the authority and the ability to force us to do whatever he wants.
Yes, he could, if he wanted to.
Okay?
Yeah.
And even with all of that, he says, here's the way, walking in it, but he will not take your feet and move it for you.
No, he will not.
He's given us choice.
He will not.
And so, if God has given us choice, he who knows and is perfect in all things, why are we, even as Christians, looking to force people to do things that they are not choosing to do?
I like where you're going, Marvin. I think the force factor comes from a place of fear.
Yeah, well, not just that. It's a misunderstanding of the purpose of who Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray
him. Yeah.
He didn't guess.
Yep.
And he knew it from the day he picked Judas.
Yeah.
Okay? But he also knew that it had to be Judas' choice to whether he would betray him or
not. Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
And he never kept him outside of the inner circle, even though he knew what the end was.
Mm-hmm.
Because he always wanted to give Judas the chance to make his choice.
Let me say this. What you're saying is, I'm hearing a whole lot more than what you're saying, but you're talking, and I celebrate it, about a high level of maturity in one's personal conviction and faith, and you're given true representation of what it really means to be forced or compelling against the will of somebody. The whole notion of our faith is we extend the choice, we present the pros and the cons, we encourage you to choose the pros, but the decision is yours.
Giving examples of what the best results of those choices can be.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
Okay, we are. That's why the Bible says, "You are my witnesses."
Yes, sir.
Didn't say you are my judges, you know.
No. preach, Dr. Smith.
This balance of being in a relationship with the Creator, right?
Yeah.
And having respect for His creation to the point where if He allows them to have a choice, you have to allow them to have a choice.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And if those choices result in life and blessings and eternal life, then that's great. If they result in damnation and eternal death, He decides that. But we've gotten at a point where we feel we have to control everybody else. That has never worked.
Yeah.
And the Creator knew that it wouldn't work, which is why He gave His creation free will.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and the very definition of love is I can't love you unless I have the choice not to love you. Right, I hear the music. Beautiful contribution, Dr. Smith. We are going to the break. We're coming up to the last part of our show. So if you want to get in, please, our numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Call in on the other side of the break. Call ICU. We'll be with you shortly.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Everything is bigger and better at Burger King Nassau. When you have a big appetite, BK has a royal deal for you. Get a flame-grilled double Big King Jr. or an original chicken sandwich, plus four chicken nuggets, small fries, a drink, and a fresh baked cookie for only $9.95, including VAT. The royal deal was built for a big appetite. And at $9.95, including VAT, it's a steal of a deal. Go big and enjoy the BK flavors you love with the $9.95 royal deal at Burger King Nassau.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Good afternoon. You are listening to The Foundation here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Foundation, the creation of one Howard Grant. And this is Ambassador Devin Roll sitting in for Mr. Grant today. We are on the final leg of our very, very exciting, provocative show today. Dealing with the subject of political integrity, breaking the silence. I think it's a great topic and focus that Mr. Grant gave me to focus on today. And it's really about sounding an alarm for we, the Bahamian public, to come out of the place of silence and weigh in with the integrity issue in our country. And we're not just talking about our politicians. We are widening the scope and our understanding of what the political system is. Political system, we all play a part in this political system. Those who go in the forefront as our political leaders, they come from amongst us. And so what we have embraced as culture, what we have embraced as education, what we have embraced in terms of faith, they are the product of it, and they go in there. And when we don't like what we see, we need to look within first to make sure that we are the examples that we want to produce. And then we need to call certain things out. And one of the things that we need to work on in our country is how to call certain things out boldly, yet diplomatically, with an aim to bringing forth positive change. You know, some of us, if we have a PhD in calling stuff out for the purpose of shaming, but at the end of the shaming, there is no conversion, there is no transformation. And so that is pointless. We want to do it in a way where there is change and sustainable change, because one of the things that we are looking at with this focus today is we want to know how can we inspire and prepare the next generation of leaders to value integrity over power. I love this question that was given. How can we inspire and prepare the next generation of leaders to value integrity over power? That generational viewpoint, I think, is one of the things that will take us out of this place of selfish gain and only focusing on what advances me, myself, and mine. We need to think, Jim, what can we do that will cause the leaders of tomorrow to have a stronger foundation and be more integral in their presentation of leadership, particularly politically. All right, we have callers are coming in already. Our next call on the line, you're on the foundation.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Roll, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Good to hear your voice.
I'm good. You know, Mr. Roll, we've been talking about Christian running for office.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprising. We are... Our Constitution made us a Christian nation.
Right.
And for a majority of time and way back in time, we have politicians, some of them are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our Christian Constitution,
mm-hmm.
they represent the state.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
Our leader, the greatest leader in the Bahamas, is independent. He confessed several times. He's a part of the Christian institution.
Yeah.
He was a Christian.
I don't know if we have a single politician right now who will deny identifying with the Christian faith. I think all of them do, and even if they just do it publicly for show, but they would say they identify with it.
Yeah. Those that would identify with it, that means they're Christian.
Right.
Identify with it because they have a right to identify with it too,
mm-hmm.
because our constitution, that's like the Islamic. And Iran.
Right.
They identify with
Islam,
Islamic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Islamic.
Mm-hmm.
And other countries, Russia's communist.
Mm-hmm.
They identify with communism.
Mm-hmm.
We in the United States, in the Bahamas, in our region, and the Caribbean, we are similar. We identify ourselves with Christian nation and
yeah.
Christian.
Indeed.
So, you ask the question, should Christian run for office?
Yeah.
I can see you saying professing Christian.
Yeah.
Say it like that.
Yeah.
But because we're a Christian nation, we...
Mm-hmm.
You following me?
Yeah, I got you.
I make sense?
Yep, you do make sense.
I'm Pumpkin, have a good day.
Have a good one, Dave Pumpkin, have a good one. Hi, we have a next caller on the line. You're live on the foundation. Caller.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I had to call back.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to say quickly because I'm sure you don't have enough time left.
Right.
I am convinced of the observation that came from the prophet Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
who said it best. He said, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," says
yeah.
the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because when it comes to pastors and politicians, God have a totally different view of both of them.
Right.
Because his way of looking at a pastor, I'll put it this way quickly. A pastor would be in the same category of a priest, correct?
Correct.
And a king would be in the same category of a politician, correct?
Yeah.
And so he said he has made us kings and priests. So
yes,
as far
sir.
As God is concerned, there is no separation between the pastor and the priest,
mm-hmm.
And the king. So what I'm saying in essence is the king represents the state and the pastor represents the church. So as far as God is concerned, there is no separation. And because we have kings or politicians who are not pastors, we have pastors who are not kings, some of them, they don't understand this position.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
I got you.
So that's why you have lack of integrity both in pastors and politicians. So that's my point I'm trying to make. I don't have enough time to elaborate, but that's just what.
That's good. Please call another day, whether it's myself or Howard, and finish that contribution. I like where you're going with that. And I think the main notion there is that whether you sit in the kingly role or the priestly role, all count to God because all power has been given by Him. We can't get up unless He allows us to get up. We can't function unless He allows us to function. And so there's also a scripture that says, everything that you do, do it as unto the Lord. So if you have an awareness of who God is and you have a fair and respect for Him as a person, it doesn't matter what your job description is, you're going to do it to the best of your ability with the view of giving good representation to Him. Because at the end of the day, He's going to judge us as a people. We're going to be judged as individuals, and we're also going to be judged as a people. As we get ready to close up today, the scripture, I mentioned it earlier in my conversation about Matthew 28, the instruction given by the resurrected Christ is to His followers, and He says, I need y'all to go into the nation, which means all facets of the nation, all of the seven cultural mountains. I need y'all in there. I don't need you to be isolated in a cave or in a room just having an emotional fit by yourselves and encouraging one another. I need you to go into the community, into the society, into the business place, into the college, into the university. I need you to go in there and not condemn people, you know. I need you to go in there and be good representatives of me. In a business office, a church, or in parliament, you represent Him through your character. You represent Him through your work ethic, through your conduct, through your willingness to be corrected when you're wrong. We didn't get into this today. I wanted to talk also about the whole spirit of narcissism that's there in our political systems, not just in this nation, but throughout the world. This Machiavellian mindset where I'm my own God. Nobody can question me. Nobody can correct me. And that's fruitless behavior, because at the end of the day, you're going to end up in destruction, and you may even destroy the lives of a whole lot of other people. We need to be more Christ-like in that perspective, whether in parliament or the pulpit, where we are humble, where our whole notion of with our elevated office is to be a blessing to others, to create opportunities for others. And in so doing, of course, we're going to be blessed as well. It has been my pleasure today. I'm humbled to have been asked to sit in the chair of Howard Grant. You've been listening to The Foundation, the visionary production of Howard Grant here at Guardian Radio 96.9. Thanks for tuning in. Please continue to listen and contribute daily.
The Foundation. The Foundation.